Good morning. This is Brian Trumbore with your Week in Review for Saturday, July 4th. Hope you're having a good holiday. I know I've used this before, but I couldn't help but think again of the Buck Owens Roy Clark lyrics. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression. Excessive misery. Only when the two sang this song on Hee Haw, it was kind of funny. These days, it's far from so. In fact, it really sums up the attitude among many these days. It's tough to celebrate a great holiday like the 4th of July when you're unemployed and or you've seen your life savings decimated in the crash. I've certainly suffered my share of pain with some of the investments I made, and I'm cutting back in a few areas like everyone else is. One I'll admit to involves my golf club, a luxury I frankly haven't used enough due solely to time constraints. So I reduced myself to a social member from a full one. All it means is I'm limited to 10 rounds a year when in the past I wasn't playing more than 10 rounds to begin with. I normally go to Ireland once a year for more golf. Yes, you could say what I was doing before was idiotic, and with a simple move I'm saving a substantial amount each month. We're all doing things like this, but I also can't ignore the fact that in my case, a job at the club could be in jeopardy. And if, say, my portfolio turned around and a few other things happened with the business, would I suddenly then become a full-time member again? No. And therein is an example of the new normal many of you have been hearing about a lot lately, particularly if you follow the financial markets closely. The new normal, as expounded on by the likes of Bill Gross and Mohammed El Arian at my old employer, PIMCO, is about this new era we have entered, one of drastically reduced expectations, such as 1 to 2% growth for years to come, not 3 to 4%. That means, most importantly to many of you, that when the recovery finally arrives, the unemployment rate that has now soared from 4.8 to 9.5% in just 16 months, staggering, won't just simply reverse itself and go down from, say, a peak of 10% to 5%. Hardly. The new normal crowd instead has us going from 10 to maybe 8.5 or 9 instead. That's it, and that's depressing. These are long-range forecasts, and I have always just gone year to year when it comes to my own work and my economic fortune-telling. I'm not prepared to state my own case for 2010 as yet, let alone beyond that. And while I'm not changing my tune on where the equity averages finished 2009, up strongly, I have been careful to say zippo about next year. So don't count me in or out as yet when it comes to the new normal camp. I just may have to take a hike on the Appalachian Trail to clear the old head before coming up with my latest theories. Oops, maybe not. Perhaps a quiet week at the Jersey Shore, except the last time I did that, last September, it ended up being the most chaotic week in Wall Street history, and rather than walking the beach for hours on end, I was glued to CNBC. But I digress. The bottom line for now is that the groundskeeper whose job I may have cost at the club isn't likely to get it back anytime soon. And that's sad. I said a lot last week when it comes to the economy. I'll try and keep this segment mercifully brief this time. The big news was the June employment report, a loss of 467,000 jobs when minus 350 was expected. The unemployment rate ticked up from 9.4 to 9.5%. But this is a volatile figure, and if you average out the past 2 months, the picture, as bad as it is measurably improved from January. Coupled with data that was generally in line with expectations on construction spending, down 0.9% in May, factory orders up 1.2%, and manufacturing, the ISM index 44.8 for June, it all added up to more of the same. The economy, basically around the world, has bottomed, but with one or two exceptions, such as in China, there is no actual growth. Without growth, you won't have rising earnings. Without rising earnings, or importantly, the expectation of same, equity markets will have a very hard time advancing much from current levels. I just have to reiterate from last week, though, that good news, not just less bad, is coming, and when it hits, look out. which is the total essence of my market forecast, sentiment trumping fundamentals at the end of the day. This was also a week when California began handing out IOUs, payable in October, thanks to a budget deficit of $24 billion, a revenue stream that in the 11 months through May is $13 billion less than year earlier levels, and an impasse in Sacramento on further budget cuts. On a smaller scale, you have similar situations in many state capitals. It's the revenue shock that is the killer. Many governors, for example, from both parties have finally been facing the facts, but then they get hit with a second whammy. On the housing front, the S&P Case-Shiller Index for April did provide a shred of better news. While the index of 20 major cities was down 18% year over year, this represents a continuing improvement of sorts, as the numbers earlier in the year were far worse. The median home price for this index is now down 33% from the 2006 peak. But on the other hand, as the New York Times pointed out, the Obama administration's plans to modify mortgages have been a bureaucratic disaster. This as delinquencies on prime mortgages continue to rise. Speaking of the Obama folks, if you think the $787 billion stimulus program is working as intended, you're nuts, or your interests are highly parochial. Stimulus plans elsewhere around the world, such as in China and South Korea, are working because they are targeting the consumer, period. I and countless others said at the time it was passed that our stimulus would not work, and it hasn't. No more than 15% of the funds, max, have gone out the door, for starters. What the hell was the purpose of it then? Many of the programs contained in the program are fine, but should have been part of the normal long-range legislative process. But stimulus? Are you kidding me? Obama's approval ratings will continue to slide largely because of this single topic, and deservedly so. He had a tremendous opportunity, and he blew it. Shovel-ready my butt. You and I, in all honesty, have no idea whether the highway projects were being routed around or just part of the highway trust fund we've been paying into for years, or something entirely new. Oh sure, our politicians cut a ribbon with some hard hats behind them and post a sign saying that the stimulus program was responsible for, quote, saving or creating new jobs, but it certainly looks to me like many of these same projects were already on the drawing board. Look, I wanted these infrastructure projects as much as the next guy, only I don't get a sense that what we're seeing on our nation's highways and byways is anything more than what we normally see this time of year. Turning to some items on the global economy, as noted, China's news continues to be solid. Not super, but pretty good. And these days, pretty good is the new awesome dude. The Purchasing Managers Index, PMI, for June was 53.2, above the 50 dividing line between growth and contraction, though only a tick higher than May's 53.1. And China has a new key barometer, closely followed by many market watchers. Power output, which for June was up 3.6% from a year earlier, though part of this increase is due to a heat wave. Nonetheless, if this figure is growing, that generally means the overall economy is as well. In India, the PMI for June was 55.3, though below May's 55.7, while in Hong Kong the PMI was 47.1, but up from May's level. In Japan, indicators on business confidence are still weighed down as the outlook remains poor for capital spending, but the government is sticking with its forecast that better times are in the not-too-distant future. South Korea said factory production was up for a fifth month in a row, and the reading on exports, while down 11% in June, was better than expected. But on the other hand, Australia's PMI was just 38, the 13th straight month below 50 there. Over in Europe, Eurozone retail sales were down a 13th straight month, and unemployment hit the exact same 9.5% level as here in the U.S., though the Euro figure is for May, not June. But if you're in the camp that says inflation is a huge issue down the road, understand that the Consumer Price Index in the Eurozone fell 0.1% in June, year over year, the first time this has happened since 1953. Reader Josh P. and I were comparing notes on deflation the other day, and it still comes down to wages. As in, you can't convince me I should sleep with one eye open and fear the inflation bogeyman will appear at my door when, as economist David Rosenberg pointed out, wages and salaries have been flat or down for 9 months in a row. Back to Europe, Ireland's GDP fell a record 8.5% in the first quarter as consumer spending plummeted an amazing 9.1%. Some final thoughts. China keeps rattling the cage on finding an alternative to the dollar, but I'm sleeping like a baby on this one. Will I change my tune next year? Maybe, but right now I'm far more concerned about my Mets staying in the playoff chase through the summer before their inevitable September collapse. I am, however, concerned about China's recent protectionist actions, and this is where someone like Paul Volcker could be a huge help. Only I suspect some in the White House, read Larry Summers, don't want to cede too much of the spotlight to tall Paul. Volcker does have the kind of stature the Chinese respect. Lastly, I continue to watch the global progress of the H1N1 virus closely. And there was a slew of news on this front this past week as the World Health Organization met in Cancun, a well-deserved show of support to the poor Mexican government, which could use a break or two these days. The WHO said the spread of the virus is unstoppable, but it remains mild. There are, though, pockets in the southern hemisphere, where it's winter, remember, that are very troubling, such as in Argentina, where the health services are being overwhelmed as the death toll rises in Buenos Aires, now in excess of 30 and over 40 nationwide. This is what bothers me, and should all of you. The flu strain is mild. The global death toll is infinitesimal. China just recorded its first fatality, for instance. But a second wave is on the way. And some German scientists are concerned they are seeing signs the virus is mutating. So it's likely to come down to health services. During New York City's brief panic of about 2 months ago, many of the hospitals were totally overwhelmed. Should H1N1's second wave hit with a vengeance, it will dominate the nightly news coverage, and that, friends, will be a killer for consumer confidence, for starters. The WHO may recommend travel bans, and various governments could be forced to comply, right as the global economy is beginning to recover. In my early missives on this topic, there was little to worry about. Government officials and the WHO largely acted responsibly given what we knew, and the virus has been highly manageable. Few of you, I imagine, have given it a second thought, but it's still very much out there and remains a potential game changer when it comes to the markets. Depending on how the next month or two goes, I reserve the right to change my equity predictions for year-end as a result. Need further proof? A good friend of mine in Massachusetts said his daughter had flu symptoms for 2 days and he called the doctor. The doctor's nurse said matter-of-factly, she probably has swine flu, but it's mild. Don't worry about it. My friend wasn't necessarily reassured. Turning to the stock market, the first 3 days of the holiday shortened week were fine, but then Thursday's labor report led to a sell-off and the major averages all took a header, with the Dow Jones finishing off 1.9% to the 8280 level. The S&P 500 lost 2.4% and NASDAQ declined 2.3%. For the year, the S&P is now back in negative territory, joining the Dow. Earnings for the second quarter will begin to trickle out this week, and we'll all be reading the accompanying statements for clues as to the third quarter's potential strength on any inventory-led rebound. If you want all the second quarter and year-to-date returns, aside from my Week in Review column, you can go to my Wall Street History link, where I have a pretty good piece posted right now on the second quarter. Have a great week. I will not be doing a podcast until Saturday, July 18th. I'm going to be in Calgary, Canada, having a great time at the Calgary Stampede. If you happen to be out there, please contact me through the website. Take care.